All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Samech Tes 69. We are picking up on the bottom of Samech Ches Amud Beis. So 68b, and we're picking up with Ashkechon. It's 2, 4, 6, 7 lines of the Mas. Well, so remember again, we're talking about the very interesting section in the Mishnah, which dealt with the concept that if a man tries to be Mekadesh, a Gentile woman, whether that Gentile woman is a Shivcha Kinanis, or she's just a Kinanis, so Lemaisa, again, the Kiddushin doesn't work, that's number one. And number two, the offspring has her status. So we determined yesterday, how we know that Kiddushin is not Tov. Since it says, the Gemara Ashki Chondolo Tafsi Ba Kiddushin, V'lodo Kimosa Minolan. So now we know that Kiddushin does not take effect with this woman. How do I know that the offspring is like her, meaning that the offspring is not Jewish? Amarkra Kisiana Leish V'yaldulo. So the Gemara goes back to the pasuk of the man who has two sons from two wives, one whom he likes and one whom he does not like. So remember, we discussed this pasuk in yesterday's daf. So the pasuk says the following, Kisiana Leish, if a man will have two wives, V'yaldulo, and they will birth for him. So the Gemara darshins, whenever you could say about a particular marriage, kisiena. Also remember, siena is lashon of kiddushin. So wherever there is kiddushin, karinan bei v'yoldu lo. So wherever there is kiddushin, you are able to apply the phrase v'yoldu lo. In other words, the children are considered to be his. And whenever ultimately you cannot apply the pasuk of kisiena, meaning where there is kiddushin, lo karinan bei v'yoldu lo. You cannot apply to such a situation v'yoldu lo. In other words, the Bo says, so wherever there is kiddushin, the children are his. Wherever there is not kiddushin, the children are not his. Ihachi, if that's the case, shivcha nami. So Bo says, if that's the case, then from this drasha, I should also learn that what? That a shivcha, that if a man fathers children with a shivcha, ultimately those children are not his. How do we learn that? Well, it's the same principle. There's no kiddushin with the shivcha, there's no kisihiyena, and if there's no kisihiyena, then what? Then there's no v'yodula, the children are his. But yet, remember, we learned that if a man fathers children with the shivcha, those children are not his. Where do we learn that from? From the pasuk that says, ha'isha v'yiladea tiyah l'adonel. Right? That ultimately, again, it says that the woman, the slave, the maidservant, and her children will belong to the master. Why do I need to learn out from there? I can learn out from here. To which the Gemara says, enachinami, you're right. If that's the case, then why do I need the earlier pasuk of that the maidservant and her children will belong to the master? L'chid disanya, for the following case, top of Samech Tes. Ha'omer l'shivcha, so if a man says to a shivcha, Hari at baschorin, listen to this case. A man says to a shivcha, and Rashi points out over here, the shivcha is pregnant. So the shivcha is pregnant, and the master says to a shivcha, Hari at baschorin, you are free, v'ladeich eved, but your child with whom you are pregnant will be my servant. So I'm emancipating you, but your child will be my servant. So what's the halacha? Havlad kimosa. The child has the status of the mother, meaning this is, of course, only for a child in utero. If the child was already born, then of course the child belongs to the mother, belongs to the master. But if the child is in utero, so the child has the status of the mother. Divrei Rabbi Yossi HaGalili. These are the words of Rabbi Yossi HaGalili. The Chum say, Dvarim Kayamin. Dvarav Kayamin. The Chum say, no. The master's words stand. In other words, that halacha lemaisa again, the child in utero is the property of the master. Mishum Shenehemar. Because the Pasuk says, Ha'isha Viladeha Sihiya L'Adonaha. Because the Pasuk says that the maidservant and her offspring will belong to the master. To which the Gemara says, what are you talking about? My Talmud. How does that pasuk support the position of the Chum? In other words, if anything, what does that pasuk show me? That pasuk shows me that the child and the mother should have the same status. So that pasuk should tell me that if I emancipate the mother, then what? Then what? The child in utero is emancipated as well. To which the Gemara says, you're right, Amarava, Ad Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. You're right. That pasuk ultimately, again, supports the position of Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. Namely, that pasuk says, whatever is the status of the Isha will be the status of the child in utero. So again, in the case where the master will go ahead and say, I'm freeing you, but your in utero child ultimately will remain my Eved, so Rabbi Yosef Lili says, the child is like the mother. The Chachamim will ultimately say, no, the child is its own entity, and halacha l'maisa, again, while the mother goes free, the child remains in servitude. Fine. So we'll say, so the Maisa, bottom line, we have a machlokas where we learn out shifcha from, but at the end of the day, the principles of the Mishnah remain as stated, namely, specifically in the last case, if a man tries to go out and marry a woman with whom he has no kiddushin, like a shifcha, or like a kananis, like a regular Gentile woman, not only is kiddushin not tofsin, but the child also has the status of the mother and not the father. Says the Mishnah. The Rebbe says, this is an amazing Mishnah. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Yicholin Mamzerin Litar. Rabbi Tarfon says, I can be Metaher O Mamzerin. Rabbi Yossi, now what does it mean I can be Metaher O Mamzerin? Now obviously the Mamzer himself, what's done is done. What Rabbi Tarfon is saying is, I have the ability to be Metaher, the offspring of Mamzerin. In other words, part of the incredibly difficult aspect of Mamzerus is it's continuously passed down. It doesn't stop. It doesn't stop. It's transmitted generation after generation. Rabbi Tarfon says, I could go ahead and make it stop. How so? So the Gemara says, Ketzad, Mamzer Shenasa Shifcha. If a Mamzer married a Shifcha, Havlad Evet. So ultimately, again, the offspring will be an Evet. This is what we just said in our last Mishnah. Shichrero. However, again, if the master then emancipates the offspring, Nimtza HaBen Ben Chorin. So we'll say, amazingly enough, so here's what you do. A mamzer has a child with a shifcha. That child has the status of the mother, not the father. So the child is an Evet. When the master then emancipates the child then becomes a full-fledged Ben Chorin. Child becomes a full-fledged Jew. In other words, no mamzerus is transmitted. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Hareze Evet Mamzer. So Rabbi Eliezer says, not quite. In fact, again, the child is an Evet Mamzer. In other words, according to Rabbi Eliezer will say that the status of the father is transmitted even to the child he has with the Shifcha. And I will say, remember, Rabbi Eliezer agrees with the previous Mishnah, as we'll see. Rabbi Eliezer holds that under normal circumstances, when a Jewish man fathers a child with a non-Jewish woman, that child is not Jewish. That child is her child. But Rabbi Eliezer is going to say there's something unique by Mamzerus, that the Mamzerus status does transfer to the child. Says the Gemara. Iboilu. So we'll say, now the Gemara asks, so this is the question. Rabbi Tarfon, the Chatzkila Kamar or the Eved Kamar? So let's listen to this Shaila. So Rabbi Tarfon is therefore saying, okay, Mamzer, listen up. I have a way to go ahead and be matar your offspring. So is Rabbi Tarfon saying that a mamzer could do this lechatchila, or is this just ex post facto? If this happened, a mamzer would go ahead. Hey, what's going on over there? A mamzer would go ahead. So is this saying that lechatchila, that a mamzer could do this? Or is this saying that ex post facto, if this happened, seeking mitzvah offspring? So because you understand, meaning the notion that there's a concept in halacha of encouraging a Jewish man to quote unquote marry, even though there's no real marriage, but to father a child with a non-Jewish woman is quite a dramatic suggestion. So says the Gemara, Tashma, Sha'amru lo Rabbi Tarfon. So they said to Rabbi Tarfon, Tiharta, Sazchare velo Tiharta, Sanakevos. So they said to Rabbi Tarfon, you did a wonderful job being Metaher, the male mamzerim, but how does this help for a mamzeres? To which the Gemara says, Gemara is an interesting havamina. So the Gemara says, well, if you're saying that this works lachatchila, so maybe you should allow a mamzeres to go ahead and marry an evet. Meaning, so maybe it would work. Maybe you would allow a Jewish mamzeres to go ahead and marry an evet. To which the Gemara says, no, that's not going to work regardless. Why? Evet ain't lo chayis. Because remember, the whole reason this works is because avadim have no lineage. Meaning, so if a Jewish woman, if this is a mamzeres or anyone else, has a child with a non-Jewish father, we established this in yesterday's daf, that child is not mesiaches, that child is not genealogically linked to that father, in any biologically linked, yes, but linealogically or genealogically not linked at all. Therefore, again, it won't work for a mamzeres, to which the Gemara says, Tashma, so I just want to point out, so this is the one hole in Rabbi Tarfon's approach, which is, this will only work for a male mamzer, it won't work for a mamzeres. So the Gemara goes weiter, Tashma, Tishpozichnid Rabbi Smaloi Mamzer. So let's listen to this. Rabbi Smaloi's landlord was a mamzer. They will say, now that's not what he thought of him. That's a description, meaning that's a statement of fact. Right? So meaning his landlord was a mamzer. So va'amrle, I akad masach tarisinu. So Rabbi Smaloi said, oh, had I only known you before you got married, I could have been metaher your offspring. So the Gemara says, Iachamas Tarasin Libincha, say I amrit bishlam lachatchila shaper. So if you say Rabbi Tarfon's logic, if Rabbi Tarfon's suggestion is to be applied even lachatchila, the lachatchila we tell a mamzer you can marry a shivcha, then Rabbi Smalai's statement makes sense. Ela I amrit diavid, my nihu demand sivla isa. But if it's only bidiavid, so how could Rabbi Smalai said, oh, had I known you back when, I would have gone ahead and encouraged you to marry a shivcha. That's not a lachatchila advice. To which the Gemara says, va'amrlei. I'm sorry, Eli Amrit, the Ovid, my new. So if you say Rabosai, that ultimately, again, that this setup is a Bidi Eved, that this setup is, excuse me, I'm sorry, I Amrit, Bishlam Lechatchi, the Shapir, Eli Amrit, the Eved, my new. So the Gemara says, Deman Sivla Eitza, Va Amrle, Zil Ginov, Vi Isdabin, Be Eved Ivri. So let's say, listen to this. So what would be the Eitza? What would be the Eitza that Rabbi Smalai could have given him? Rabbi Smalai could have told him, go and steal. Go and steal. And I will say, you could be one of those people who what? Who goes ahead and has no money to pay back. And what happens if you steal and you have no money to pay back? You're sold as an eved. Now, I will say, now the beauty of this approach, despite the fact that it is fraught with halachic problems. Rashi points this out over here. Rashi says, if you look at the last line of Rashi, Rashi says, "Ulahachi nakat zilganov huadinami matilak shuye misharilin sube eitzah lemignov." So we'll say, remember, he's just giving an example. Rashi points out, it doesn't literally have to mean he's telling him to steal. What he's saying is what? Get yourself sold as an Eved Ivri. Get yourself, so however that works. You know, we'll say, remember, how's the other way a person could go ahead and sell himself as an Eved Ivri? Either you steal or... Right? You're totally impoverished. You just have a lot of debt. You have no money. You have no money. Now, listen, I want to point something out, which is fascinating. The Maila what Rabbi Smalai is suggesting is what? Is that, remember, if you're an Eved Ivri, so the master Lechatchila is permitted to give you a Shivcha for procreation purposes. Right? That's one of the things that an Eved Ivri is permitted to do for his master. So what's interesting is, to a certain degree, this is quote-unquote even better, because the notion of a mamzer who is a full-fledged Jew marrying a shivcha, that still comes with certain halachic problems. An Eved Ivri, however, is totally permitted. So Rabbi Smalai would have told the guy, listen, go and steal, so to speak. Go ahead and get yourself sold as an Eved Ivri, and you'll be able to father children. And then as long as the master is in on this, and the master allows, and the master frees the shivcha afterwards, you'll have a Jewish wife and you'll have Jewish children who are not mamzerim. To which the Gemara says, "Ubishandra bismalai eved ivri mihavi." But I will say, were there any eved? Was eved ivri? Was the institution of eved ivri in effect during the years of Rabbi Smalai? After all, the ha'amar mar ain eved ivri nohik ela bisman shayovel nohik. After all, Rabbi say, we know that eved ivri only applies when when Yovel applies. Yovel requires the majority of Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael, which I must say is actually a very exciting Yisrael. You know, the latest census was that there are over 6 million Jews in Eretz Yisrael now. So the projections are that in the next couple of years, it could very well be that the majority of the Jewish people will be in Eretz Yisrael, which is an incredible, incredible thing, because when that happens, there is a fundamental shift. It means that Yovel comes back. Yovel and so... I'm sorry? So you need from all of the existing Shvatim. You need from all of the existing Shvatim. So that's, there's a lot of interesting discussion about this, but anyway, Halavai will be Zohar. So the Gemara says the following. So there's no Eved Ivri, but when there's no Yoel. Elalav Shmamina, Rabbi Tarfon Lechatchila Kamar, Shmamina. So I will say again, you see from here that what? Rabbi Tarfon was advancing this logic Lechatchila for a mamzer to marry a Shivcha, thereby purifying his offspring. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Halacha Rabbi Tarfon. So Rabbi Yehuda said, Shmuel will say that the Halacha follows Rabbi Tarfon. I will say, I want to share with you something absolutely amazing. Listen to this. The Shulchan Aruch, Simon Dalid, Ebena Ezer, the Halacha Superior of Arivia, Halacha Chaf writes, get ready for this. Mamzer Habala Akum, Havlad Akum, Ve'im Nisgayer, Harihu Ki Yisro. So a mamzer who follows a child with a non-Jewish woman, the child is not Jewish. In other words, the mamzerus does not transfer over. And ultimately, again, the child, Ve'im Nisgayer, if the child converts, the child is a bona fide Yisro. Ve'im Bala Shivcha, Havlad Eved V'nishtachrer, Huadin Ben Chorin, Lefichach. Get ready for this. You ready? Mamzer nosei lechatchila shivcha. Shulchan Aruch paskins that we allow a mamzer lechatchila to marry a shivcha shekibla ale mitzvos tvila. Excuse me, shekibla ale mitzvos tavla l'shem avdus. Now, I will say, now, interestingly enough, stafcha shivcha. Because remember, a shivcha is quasi Jewish. When you take an eved ivri or shivcha kinanis, so there's an immersion in the mikvah l'shem avdus for the sake of servitude, which affects a quasi Jewishness, which becomes complete upon emancipation. So what the Shulchan Aruch is saying is Rabbi Teflon's dafka allowing this with a shivcha. Why? Because she's half Jewish, even though we don't really have such a concept like that. But you know, there's a quasi Kabbalah Hamitzvos, and there's a Tefillah L'Shem. There's Tefillah L'Shem Avdus. Lahati Yabarim Sheishtacheru V'Yimutar Mi'Yisroim. So we'll say Salocha L'Maisa. The Shulchan Aruch codifies this as an option for a mamzer to go ahead and be Matara's offspring. Now, what the contemporary application of that is, you'll put on our list for Daf Yomi topics that we have to have a shir on. So let's go a little bit weiter. So Rabbi Elazar Omer Harizah Evan Mamzer. Most remember, Rabbi Elazar disagrees, and Rabbi Elazar says, no, halacha l'maisa again, even if a mamzer fathers a child with a shivcha, that child is still a mamzer. So says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Elazar, my time with Rabbi Elazar, what's Rabbi Elazar's logic? The Amar Kra, lo. The Pasuk says, Rabbosai, by mamzer. The Pasuk says, lo yavo mamzer b'kal Hashem, kamdor asiri lo yavo lo. Even the 10th generation may not come lo for him. So what does that mean, lo? Halach achar psulo. Lo rabosai means that lamaisa, the psul of mamzerus, remains with him and his offspring no matter what. Therefore, it doesn't matter who he marries. Shivcha, non-Jewish woman, it doesn't make any difference. Lamaisa, again, the person will remain a mamzer. For Rabbanon, Hahubi is Oshnas Mamzeres. But the Rabbanon understand that lo is actually referring to a Yisrael, a Jewish man who marries a mamzeres. That offspring, that child, is still going to be a mamzer. Now, why? What's the Havamina? Sakadait Hamina. I would have thought the Mishpachos on the Beis Avosam Ksev. I would have thought Rabbi said that since, in general, when determining Jewish identity, meaning especially tribal affiliation, we go ahead and we go after the father. So I might have thought, therefore, if a Jewish man marries a mamzeres, maybe that child shouldn't be a mamzer, but the child should have the Jewish identity of the father. Therefore, asalo afke. Therefore, the word lo comes along and removes the child, the offspring, from the religious or tribal identity of the father and puts the child as a mamzer. V'Rabbi Eliezer, lav afagav dechassel mishpachos on the yisavosam. Even though it says the mishpachos on the yisavosam. So lo comes along and removes the mamzer from the identity of the father. So too, even though normally by avdos the halacha is that what? That the slave woman and her offspring belong to the master. The word lo comes along in what? The word lo comes along and removes her from the domain of her master, and again places, or I should say, removes the child from the domain of the master, and places the child in the domain of the father, being a mamzer. For Rabbanon, kol vlad b'may shivcha kinanis, kulo b'may behema domi. So ultimately, and the Rabbanon will say, it's true that the offspring of a shivcha has the status of a shivcha. But I will say, I don't need a pasuk to teach me that, but rather that's intuitive. The same way that the offspring of an animal has the status of the animal. Rabbi Moshe said, this goes back to the animal comparison. The animal comparison is to create the comparison to possessions. So the same way that the offspring of the animal has the identity of the animal, the offspring of the shifcha has the identity of the shifcha as well. So Rabbi Moshe said, so fundamental machlokis, but again, it's a little, I spoil the surprise a little bit. We obviously paskin like Rabbi Tarfon in this Mishnah, not like Rabbi Eli. And therefore, again, we do not hold that the mamzer status of the father transfers over to the offspring he has with the shivcha. Rather, in fact, if the mamzer does father a child with the shivcha, lemaisa what? Lemaisa, that child is not Jewish, is an eved, and upon emancipation, that child will ultimately become a full-fledged Jew with absolutely no little bit of mamzerus attached to him. Hadrin Allah ha'omer. New parakabos, say mazel tov. Asar yuchsun alu mi baba. So we'll say again, this is now a very exciting parak. There were 10 genealogical classes that came from Babel. That came from Babel to Ezra. So listen, this is talking about by Ezra. So this is from a second temple era. Ezra comes back and leads the Jews back from Babel. The Mishnah now is going to talk about who came back from Babel. So says the Gemara, who were they? Kohani Levi Yisraeli. They were Kohanim. Levim Yisraelim, Chalolei. So we'll say Chalolei are Chalolim. Remember, Chalolim are the offspring of a forbidden Kohanic union. Giri, converts. Charurei. We'll say Charurei is emancipated servants. Chorin. B'nei Chorin, emancipated servants, Mamziri, Mamzerim, Nesini, so we'll say Nesini, right? We spoke about the Nesini so many times throughout Shas. These are the Givonim. Remember, the Givonim were one of the nations in Canaan, but they disguised themselves as a foreign nation and came to Yoshua, pretending they came from a faraway land, with the hope that Yoshua wouldn't kill them. Yoshua makes a treaty with them, and then their identity is discovered. So their status within the Jewish people is always a little bit iffy. It's like the Nesinim and the Kusim. It's never exactly clear, did they convert? Did they join the ranks of Klal Yisrael or not? Those are the Nesinim. Shtuki va'asufi. So we'll say Shtuki and Asufi, will define those terms in just a little bit. So Kohani Levi v'Yisraeli. So we'll say Kohani Levi v'Yisraelim. Mutar lavo zeh vo zeh. Are permitted to marry into one another. So Levi Yisraeli Chaloli Giri v'Charuri. So Levim Yisraelim Chalolim Geirim, emancipated servants, are permitted to marry into each other as well. Geiri v'Charuri Mamziri Unesini Shtuki v'Asufi, converts, emancipated servants, Mamzerim Nesinim Shtukim and Asufim Kulam Mutarim Lavo Zebazeb. These were all permitted to marry into each other. The Eluhim Shtuki. So what's now the Mishnah defines the terms. What's wrong? Oh, we're gonna no. If you look, it's Geri Charuri Mamziri. So think about who these people are. So remember, the Ger we know, a mom's just permitted to marry a Ger. Now we know Charuri is going to be an interesting one because we're going to see that the emancipated servant essentially has the status of a Ger, and the sin will discuss the status of all these people. We'll say now let's do our definitions. Eluim Shtuki. What's a Shtuki? Kol Shuhu Makiras Imo Ve'Eino Makiras Aviv. A Shtuki, Rabbi says, someone who knows who his mother is, but doesn't know his father. So where do you get the word shtuki from? So says Rashi. Look at Rashi. Rashi says three lines up from the bottom. Ve'eino makiras aviv. Rabbi says, where do you get the name shtuki from? Ukishikori ploni abba ima mishasko. Essentially, when the kid says daddy, daddy, and his mother says shh. Right, so the idea is that he thinks his father is someone, but either the paternity of his father is not known, or whatever the situation is, the idea that it's the paternity of the father is not known, and therefore the mother, when he decides to call someone daddy, the mother shushes him. That's why it's called shtuki. What's an asufi? An asufi is koshen ne'asaf min hashuk ve'eno makir lois aber lois. So we'll say asufi is a child who does not know either of his parents, a child who was adopted. So we'll say the lashon of asufi is from asaf. His parents, his adopted parents collected him. So his mother is not known, his father is not known. Avashol ha'yakori l'shtuki. So we'll say this is interesting. By the way, you see that from a Talmudic perspective, the definition of a child who is adopted, that the definition is not of a child who was raised by other parents. That part, it's really a child who does not know the identity of his or her parents. That's so to speak, an asufi in halacha. If I know the identity of my parents, even if I'm not raised by them, that's not an asufi, because I know who I am, I know the family that I come from. The asufi is, the child does not know who his parents are. Abishol used to call the shtuki a beduki. We'll discuss that. Says the Gemara, sorry, Yoksan Alumi Bavel. So it says, actually, we're going to see now, I'm just getting very excited. From now, pretty much until the end of the Masechta, we have this beautiful Agarta, beautiful Gemaras. Well, not all the way through the end of the Masechta, but it's very exciting Gemaras, exciting times. Says the Gemara, my area, Abi, you joined it at a very good time. At a very good time, mamish, like you came for the right part. So says the Gemara, my area. That's called pressure. It's called a lot of pressure. So says the Gemara. So my area, the Tani Alumi Bavel. So we'll say, so it asks the Mishnah, why is it that the Mishnah says that these people came up from Bavel? Nisni hochul Yeretz Yisrael. Why don't you just say that the people went to Eretz Yisrael? Why do you use the lashon of Alumi Bavel? They went up from Bavel. Just say they came into, they went to Eretz Yisrael. So Milsov Agav Orche Kamashmol. And the Mishnah is teaching me a lesson. We'll say Agav Orche means kind of incidentally. The Mishnah is teaching me an incidental lesson. What's the incidental lesson? Kamashmolon Kidisanyo. The Kamta Va'alisa Lamakama Shayiv Chashem Lokecha. We'll say the pasuk says, by the regalim, it's not by the regalim, this is by when you need a matter to be adjudicated, you will get up and go to the place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has chosen. Malamed Shebeis HaMikdash Gava Mikol Haaretz Yisrael. So we'll say, it's interesting that the Lashon over here is when you need to go to the Sanhedrin, the Kamta Va'alisa, you will get up and you will ascend. So what do you see from here? That the Beis HaMikdash is the tallest spot in the entire land. Now we'll say, of course we know, that's not true. right? That's not true. You can't see the Hermon from the Beis HaMikdash, right? So the idea over here, it's not topographically the highest place in the land, but obviously it's not talking about a topographical statement, but rather it's talking about a spiritual statement, that the Beis HaMikdash is the highest point in the land. And the Eretz Yisrael gavoa mikol ha'aratzos, and ultimately, again, we know similarly, Eretz Yisrael is the highest of all lands. Also, again, also not a topographical statement or a geographic statement, but rather, again, a spiritual statement. Therefore, again, I will say, what does the Mishnah say? It's so beautiful. I will say, this is why the Mishnah is giving us a nuanced message about how to look at Eretz Yisrael. Asara yuchsin alu mi Bavel, went from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. I will say, now you understand the novelty over here also is, at this point in time, historically, so remember, there was a lot more Torah in Bavel than there was in Eretz Yisrael. But you know what? Eretz Yisrael is still Eretz Yisrael. And at the end of the day, again, you go from a Makom Torah like Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, it's still Aliyah, it's still going up, it's still Olu. So that's the message. Bishlam Beis HaMikdash, Kavam Mikal Eretz Yisrael. So I understand that the Beis HaMikdash is the tallest point in Eretz Yisrael. Hainu Dichsev, Divrei Ribo V'Shah, Recha V'Kam Teva Alisa. Because the Pasuk says, when you have different matters to adjudicate within your gates, you will get up and ascend to the land. How do we know that Eretz Yisrael is the tallest land of all the lands? So dechsev lachein hine yamim abayim noam Hashem. So the days will come. The Messianic era. Lo yomar od chay Hashem asher hela espnei Yisrael Eretz Yisrael kim chay Hashem asher hela vasher hevi espnei Yisrael Eretz Tzafon mikol haaretz asher dachtim sham. So I'll say, listen to this. So remember, this is actually amazing in general. There's a big discussion. We speak about this in the Haggadah. There's a big discussion about this. The end of the third chapter in Brachos. So we speak about this. Yisodo Mashiach comes. We're no longer going to refer to the God, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as the one who took us out of Egypt. But rather, we're going to talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu who gathered us from all of the lands of our dispersion. But the idea of Osei is we're going to call Hashem Asher Helo Es Bnei Yisrael Meretz Yisrael. God took us up. So you see over here that Eretz Yisrael is called an Aliyah. Eretz Yisrael is called going up. It's called taller, higher than all of the lands. Says the Gemara, my area, the Tani Alu Mi Bavel, Nisni Alu Li Eretz Yisrael. So okay, fine. So now I understand why you want to use the Lashon of Alu. Now we want to use the Lashon of going up, because going up teaches me that what? Eretz Yisrael is higher. It's greater than all the other lands. But why do you have to say Alu Mi Bavel? They're going up from Bavel. Say Alu Li Eretz Yisrael. We'll say it's incredible you've sowed. You know, in life, it's important not to run away from things, but rather it's important to run to things. So why do you have to tell me ultimately, Alu mi Bavel? Don't tell me they ascended from Bavel. Tell me what? Alu li Eretz Yisrael. They went to Eretz Yisrael. To which the Gemara will say, this is amazing. So this supports Rabbi Elazar. Udam Rabbi Elazar. Lo ola Ezra mi Bavel. Ad sha asa kisoles nekia va'ala. Rabbi Elazar says, well, say that what? Ezra did not leave Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Bavel, until he made it like fine flour. Now, we'll say, now, what does that mean? So what we're going to see now is something amazing. And there was major intermarriage happening in Bavel. And as such, again, there are major genealogical issues. Ezra was concerned about the following. Who was going up to Eretz Yisrael? It was Ezra and pretty much all of the greatest Talmidei Chachamim. Which means that the general masses, now both remember again, the majority of people did not go back with Ezra, which means the masses were going to be remaining behind in Bavel without serious rabbinic leadership. Ezra was concerned that because there was intermarriage and genealogical issues, that was going to happen is people, the genealogical lines would become blurred. So what did he do? Ezra did the homework to separate out genealogies, to figure out who is kosher, who's pasul, and he took all of the psulim with him to Eretz Yisrael. Right? This is amazing. Why? It sounds counterintuitive. Leave them in Bavel. No. Because in Eretz Yisrael, the Rabbanim will be there, the Dayanim will be there, and people will make sure that the genealogical lines remain intact. As opposed to if you leave them in Bavel, everything is going to break loose as soon as the Rabbanim leave. So says the Gemara, the Lashon of Alu Mi Bavel is to highlight the idea that Ezra did not leave until he made Bavel like fine flour. Straightened out all of the genealogies in Bavel. So Itmar, first wide line, Itmar, Abai Amar Emo Meilen. So here's what's interesting. So now we know that Ezra's taking with him all of those ultimately, again, who were genealogically blemished or genealogically problematic or had genealogical questions. So Abayi says, Alume Aleihem, that the Asar Yuchsim, all of these different genealogical classes, went up of their own volition. They went up their own volition. So says the Gemara, Tana, so Amar Abayi, Alume Aleihem Tanav, Rava Amar, Ha'alum Tanan. Rava says, no, Ezra forced them to come, meaning by force, Ezra made them come to Eretz Yisrael. They come if they give it Rabbi Lazar. And they're arguing Rabbi Lazar. This is the Amr Rabbi Lazar. Lo Allah Ezra mi bavel atcha asa kisalas nekiyah. Rabbi Lazar only left, Ezra only left for Eretz Yisrael after he made Baba like fine flour. In other words, after he actively sifted through the genealogies and took those who had problematic genealogies with him to Eretz Yisrael. So Abayi less the Rabbi Elazar. So I will say, so remember, it only works to say that Ezra made Baba like fine flour. He removed, he took with him all of those who were genealogically problematic. Well, so that only works if he forced them to come. Rabbi Elazar will say, it doesn't make sense to think that all of those people came willingly. So if, Lamaisa, you say that Ezra used his strong rabbinic arm to take those and say, you're coming with, then it makes sense. But if you say that he relied on people to come of their own volition, then maybe some of them came, maybe even a lot of them came, but there's no way to think that all of them came. So Abayi does not subscribe to Rabbi Elazar, versus Rabbi who does. So the Gemara says, Ibaisa, the other possibility is the Kuli Alma is with Rabbi Elazar. Everyone agrees that Ezra made Babel like fine flour. This is what they're arguing about. Mar Savar, Afrushe Afrushinhu, Uminafshayu Saliku. So also listen to this. Abayi holds that what Ezra did in Babel was something very interesting. Ezra identified all those, he publicly identified all of those with genealogical issues. Now I will say, remember, Ezra did this, I will say, also as a way of going ahead and preventing intermarriage. Remember, again, intermarriage was highly problematic, and therefore, we'll say, you see, unfortunately, intermarriage has become somewhat common in our current landscape. In Babel, it was still a novelty, and Ezra hoped that by publicly by publicly highlighting the families ultimately again that had intermarried and thereby caused genealogical problems, that Lamaisa it would create a social pressure not to intermarry. So Abayi says like this, what did Ezra do? He publicly identified the genealogically problematic families, and therefore what he identified them in Babel. Once he identified them in Babel, then what? They knew that they would have difficulty marrying in Babel. And therefore, what did they do? They decided to move. They decided to go to Eretz Yisrael. Umar Savar, on the other hand, Rava holds, Bal Karchayu Asukinu. Rava holds, on the other hand, that no, Ezra just forcibly took them up to Eretz Yisrael. Bishlam Lamandamar Alu. So according to the Mandamar, who says Alu, that they went above their own volition. Hainu da Amar, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Kol Aratzos, Isali Eretz Yisrael. So we'll say all of the lands of the world are considered to be like dough compared to Eretz Yisrael. The Eretz Yisrael, Isal Ababa. So we'll say, as you're going to see over here, dough, so the Gemara is comparing dough to fine flour. So dough has its impurities in it versus the fine flour, which is pure. In other words, so the lands of the world are both like dough. In other words, that they have plenty of genealogical impurities when compared to Eretz Yisrael. And Eretz Yisrael is like dough when compared to Bavel. As we'll say, amazingly enough, what the Gemara is suggesting is that Bavel had genealogical, what's the right word, we'll call it, genealogical purity. Why? Why did that happen? Because Ezra took everyone with genealogical problems with him to Eretz Yisrael. So therefore the Gemara says, Elaman Dharma. So if you say that Ezra told the people who had genealogical problems, listen, I really want you to come, but he didn't force them, then I understand why some of the people remained in Babel as well. And Eretz Yisrael was only like Isa to Babel. Elaman Dharma, Helum, Meida Yad Inu, Nihit, so the Gemara says, but 1 second, if you hold that Ezra forcibly took the people with genealogical problems with him, then I both say, although there are a lot of people with genealogical problems in Eretz Yisrael, Ezra knows who they are. If Ezra knows who they are, then that can be regulated. If that's the case, then Lamais, again, why should Eretz Yisrael be any any less genealogically fit than Babel? To which the Gemara says, Meida diadinu nihidiada lahahudara ledaachrini liyadi. Especially, you know what happens with these things. Even if Ezra and his rabbinic peers were aware of the genealogical issues in their generation, I will say, what does happen over time? Over time, ultimately, again, families become blended, and those genealogical issues become less well-known and less pronounced. Bishlom Alamanda Amr Alu, Hainu Dichsiv, Vakab Tsim Elanar Haba Al Achwa, Benach Masham Yam Shlosha. So we'll say, so again, so if you hold that Ezra relied on the people to come up of their own volition, then the following pasuk in Ezra makes sense. The pasuk says, Vakab Tsim Elanar Haba Al Ahava, Benach Masham Yam Shlosha. I gathered the people by the river. So we'll say, they're talking about their journey from Babel Terry. So I gathered them by the river, Yamim Shlosha, Va'avim Avam, and I looked around the people who were coming with me to Eretz Yisrael, and I saw that Pekohanim Ubimnei Levi Lo Matzasi Shem. So we'll say, listen to this. I found that we were coming up, that there weren't a lot of Kohanim, and there were no Leviim. Right? We'll say, pretty wild, right? Not one Levi came back with Ezra to Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, so if you say that Ezra didn't force the people to come, but rather they came up of their own volition, so I understand how Ezra thought a whole bunch of people were coming, and then when he examines who's coming, he realized that there are no Leviim. Eleman damra ha'alum ha'mis har-zihiri. So I will say, but if you say that Ezra took the people with a strong arm, so I don't understand, how could he not know who was in the group? To which the Gemara says, Nehide is dar b'psulim, b'ksherem lo is dar. So also listen to this. Even if you want to say that Ezra brought people up forcibly, I will say the only people he brought up forcibly were who? Were the psulim. This is interesting. The ksherim, he of course encouraged people to come, but he did not force them to come. Fine. I'm sorry? He couldn't. That's the other truth also. So kohani leviv yisraeli. So remember again, the first category of people that Ezra brought up, kohanim leviv yisraeli. Minalon disaliku. How do we know that kohanim leviim and yisraelim came up to Eretz Yisrael? D'chsev vayeshvua kohanim va'leviim u'mina'am va'meshorim va'ashorim va'nasinim ba'areim v'chol yisrael ba'areim. Because the pasuk says over here that the kohanim and leviim came, and the meshorim, the singers, those who worked the gates, then the nesinim all sat in their cities, and the Yisraelim in their cities as well. So we'll say, we'll see, because it seems to be a contradiction. We just said before that the leviim did not come up. Now saying, so we'll discuss that contradiction. Chaloli giri v'charuri. So we'll say again, chalolim, gerim, and emancipated servants. Chaloli minolan. How do we know that chalolim came up to Eretz Yisrael? This sanya, Rabbi Yossi, we'll say, this is actually right, quite amazing. So remember, Chalolim are the product of the union between a kohen and a woman he's not permitted to marry. Rabbi Yossi says, Gedola Chazaka. Now we'll say, Chalolim was a big problem. Now we know this because, for whatever the reason, there was rampant intermarriage among the Kohanim. In fact, we're going to see this right now. So it says the Gemara, the son Rabbi Yossi, Omer, Gedola Chazaka. See how great Chazaka is. Shenemar, Rabbi Yossi. Now the Gemara is going to quote from the pasuk in Ezra. The pasuk says, "Ubnei Kohanim bnei Chavaya." So the sons of the Kohanim, the children of Chavaya, bnei Hakotz, bnei Barzilai, asher lokach mibnos Barzilai Giladi Isha, vayikra al Shemam. Okay, so what happens? So these Kohanic families come back to Babylon. Rabbi Yossi. Now, because there was rampant intermarriage, the halacha was, the way it worked was like this: that before you were going to be able to serve in the Beis Hamikdash, you had to produce your family tree. You had to produce your documents saying that you were still a Kohanically, genealogically fit family. So what happened to these families? Eila bikshuk savam hamasiach hashem lo nimtzu. So these families couldn't produce proper documentation. They cannot produce proper, that in Babel they remained genealogically fit. Vayigolu min hakuna. Therefore, they were turned away from the kahuna. Vayomer Hatir Shasa. So Hatir Shasa said that, and we'll say now, who is Hatir Shasa? So this is amazing. If you look at the second line of Rashi, wide line of Rashi, Hatir Shasa, we'll say, is Nechemya ben Chachalya. It's the Navi Nechemya. So why is Nechemya called Hatir Shasa? Get ready for this. Kari came to say for Ezra, Gemara Yushami Nimsa, Sha'al Shem Shaya Mashkel Melech, Hayatarach Lishtos Kodem Shaloy Hashduhu Shema Hitil Sam Hamavis Vashka Melech Hitiru Lo Yain Shaldiko Kavim Lishtos Lekach Nikra Hatir Shasa. This is amazing. Hatir Shasa says Nechemya. Nechemya occupied a very important position, namely, he was the wine chamberlain. He was the wine steward of the king. Now, it's a good position, right? Now, listen to this. Now, there's only one catch. If you are the wine chamberlain of the king, what do you have to do? You had to drink from every cup of wine before you gave it to the king. Now, what was the logic of that? That's a very simple assassination plots. So to make sure ultimately, again, that no one has conscripted the wine chamberlain to be part of an assassination plot, supposed to see what's the problem. The wine of the king ultimately, again, is stam yenom, right? Is, or potentially yayin esach, probably not yayin esach, but really stam yenom. So ultimately, again, sohat yoshasa means that Nehemiah appealed to the Sanhedrin for a heter to be able to drink this wine, and the Sanhedrin, due to the circumstances, permitted him. That's why it's called Hatir Shasa. Hatir from Lashon of Hetir, Shasa to drink. So Hatir Shasa, Nehemiah says to the Kohanim, Verona Hatir Shasa Lahem, Asher lo yochlu mikachi akadoshim ad amad koin the korim vitumim. Supposed to listen to this. Hatir Shasa said to these Kohanic families that cannot produce proper documentation. Listen, you can't eat from any sacrificial items until what? Until you stand before the coin and the urim vitumim. Supposed to say, so Hatir Shasa said, look, you can't eat from, you, in other words, you don't have your documentation, that's fine. We have another vehicle by which we could ascertain your genealogical fitness, and that's by taking you before the urim vitumim. So if the urim vitumim could answer whether or not you're genealogically fit. So what is, so listen to this. But listen to this. So remember, Nehemiah says something like this. I'm not saying you guys are not Kohanim. I'm not saying you're not Kohanim. Meaning you have your cheskas kohuna. But in order to do avoda, you have to solidify that chazaka by bringing documentation. I'm not taking away your kohuna. Your kohuna is yours. Therefore, again, whatever privileges of your kohuna you've enjoyed until now, you could continue to enjoy those privileges. So, for example, what were you eating in Babel? You were eating Rav Osai, truma. You were eating chutz la'aretz, truma chutz la'aretz, so fine. You could continue to eat that. Afkan nami bekachagvul. So too over here, you could continue to eat truma as well. So in other words, Hatir Shasa and Nehemiah was saying to them, I'm not gedola chazaka. You have a cheskas kahuna. I'm not removing your chazaka from you. Therefore, whatever you ate in Bava, whatever truma you ate in Bava, you can eat here as well. But you can't do avoda until you solidify your family records. So was about according to Madarama, who says that again, if the way we look to see if a kohen is genealogically fit is how? Does he eat truma? So if you eat truma, that's a sign of genealogical fitness. Are we not concerned that Nehemiah, if you allow them to continue to eat truma, that ultimately people will assume that they could do avoda as well? Hani da achol truma, us, so the Gemara says, I'm sorry, hani da achol truma, so aren't we concerned that if we allow them to eat truma, you're going to be mal of them? You're going to establish a genealogical fitness based on that. Shiny hasam derach haskas. I will say because everyone knew about this. See, the issue over here is that everyone knew what was happening with these particular families. Therefore, and everyone knows that the only reason they're eating truma is because they had a chazaka of eating truma. No one was going to come to go ahead and establish their genealogical fitness based on truma consumption. Be'ela, my gedola chazaka. So we'll say, so what was the statement when it said, see how great chazaka is? Listen to this. De'me'ikara, achol b'truma de'rabanan. Because we'll say, remember, in Babel, what were they eating? In Babel, they were eating rabbinic truma. There's no biblical truma in Babel. They're eating rabbinic truma. U'levasof, achol b'truma de'araisa. And now that we're in Eretz Yisrael, we'll say, what happened? Now that they were in Eretz Yisrael, they had the ability to go ahead and eat Trumas Arto. So the chazaka that they were Truma eaters in Babel allowed them to be Truma eaters in Eretz Yisrael as well. But the Truma in Babel was Dirabaran. The Truma in Eretz Yisrael is Da'araisa. And the chazaka allows them to eat Truma Da'araisa. Be by saying, the other possibility is, be by saying, the Olam Hash, so actually we'll stop over here. We'll pick up Emir Hashem with this, be by Sema tomorrow. We're going to start tomorrow, Mirat Hashem, 5:45. So there'll be no Messias Hashem, Mirat Hashem. Tomorrow we'll start the daf at 5:45. And hopefully we'll be able to get through it, Mirat Hashem. I'm sorry? Oh, so we're going to see that. We're going to see what Urim Vitumim ultimately means in this context as well.